This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You know, there are houses that seem to welcome you with open arms, places filled with warmth, charm, and maybe a slightly creepy old staircase. And then there are houses like this one, a grand old place in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. It's the kind of house that holds onto secrets, where the walls seem to whisper and the stairs have a life of their own. You can imagine walking through, feeling a chill as you move from room to room, always sensing that someone or something might be just around the corner. Now imagine this. You're in that house, sitting at the kitchen table, maybe minding your own business, working on a crossword puzzle, when you hear it. Footsteps. They're not just any footsteps, no. These are deliberate. Up and down, back and forth, as if something or someone is pacing above you. But there's one tiny problem. You're the only one in the house. You call out, thinking maybe it's your stepbrother back from wherever he was. But there's no response, just silence. Eerie silence. You do what any rational person would do. You check the rooms, even the creepy attic, but you find nothing. So you go back to your puzzle, trying to convince yourself it's just an old house making old house noises. Then it happens again. Footsteps right above you where no one should be. Now here's the kicker. This isn't a one-off. This is a regular occurrence in this house, and it's not just the house, it's the people in it. The generations who've lived there have all felt it, heard it, and sometimes even seen it. So what do you do when the house you're in, the house your family's in, seems to have a mind of its own? Is it just a quirky old place with a few creaky floors, or is something else, something far more sinister, walking those halls, waiting for the right moment to make itself known? Let's just say this house doesn't let you leave without an experience you'll never forget. So what happens when you realize the house you're visiting isn't just haunted by history, but by something far more personal? What if it's not just some random ghost pacing those floors, but a spirit connected to your family? Or maybe it's been there all along, watching, waiting. What would you do then? Let's go to the letter. Dear Tony, I never really believed in haunted houses until I experienced one for myself. It's funny how things change when you're the one hearing footsteps in an empty house or watching a door close all by itself. This all started in my mom's house in Northeast Ohio, a semi-rural area surrounded by old trees, quiet roads, and as it turns out, something else. My mom lives in this amazing old house. It's three stories, but with its high ceilings, it feels even bigger than that. The house has two sets of stairs, one in the front, big and grand, the kind of staircase every kid loves to ride down, and then there's the other one, the creepy back stairs, steep, narrow, and hidden at the back of the house. There's something about those stairs that always gave me the creeps, but it's the rooms at the top that really hold the stories, and now this house had been through generations of my stepdad's family. It was where my step-siblings grew up, where my stepbrother lived when he got older, and later it's where my step-grandparents moved in when they needed to be taken care of. That's when things got really interesting. My first encounter with the strange happenings in that house happened one summer night in 1982. I was pregnant at the time, and I remember being bored, so I decided to stop by my mom's house. They weren't home, but they never locked the back door, so I let myself in and figured I'd wait for them. I sat down in the kitchen, grabbed a crossword puzzle, and settled in. That's when I heard it. Footsteps. Now, mind you, this house is old, and old houses creak, but these were footsteps, clear as day. I thought maybe my stepbrother was home after all. So I called out, but there was no answer. I called again. Nothing. His truck wasn't outside either. So being the logical person I am, I went upstairs to check. Nobody was there. I even went up to the attic, and let me tell you, that attic was something straight out of a horror movie. Bat poop everywhere, dark, dusty, but no one there either. I went back downstairs to my crossword puzzle, thinking maybe it was just my imagination. But no sooner had I started again than the footsteps started up, This time they were louder, moving from the top of the stairs down the hall and back again. Over and over. That's when it hit me. There was nobody there. But something was making those footsteps. I didn't stick around much longer after that. I left that house faster than you could say ghost. When I told my family about it the next day, my mom laughed it off, my stepdad shrugged, but my stepbrother, he just nodded. He'd heard it too, many times. He and his siblings had heard those footsteps as kids, and nobody ever believed them either. So it wasn't just me. Something was there, and it had been there for years. Fast forward a few years. My stepbrother had moved out, and my step-grandparents moved into the apartment upstairs. They were in their 90s by this point, but they still had enough spirit to keep an eye on things. My daughter, who was a teenager at the time, was having some trouble, so my mom took her in for a while. During that time, my daughter grew very close to her grandma, my stepdad's mom. They bonded in a way that I think helped my daughter a lot. Sadly, my step-grandparents both passed away a few years ago. My daughter took it really hard, especially since she had grown so close to grandma. After they passed, though, the house seemed different, quieter, but not in a peaceful way. When we visited my mom for her 75th birthday last May, I brought my kids and my granddaughter with me. The boys stayed in the apartment upstairs, and my daughter and granddaughter shared the bedroom. The first few days were uneventful, though my granddaughter kept falling out of bed. It was odd because the bed was centered in the room, and there was no reason for her to roll out like that. After the third night of this happening, I suggested we move the bed closer to the wall. That night, something strange happened. My daughter and son had put my granddaughter to bed and were reading her a book. Suddenly, my daughter noticed the door closing by itself. No breeze, no draft, just closing. She got up, opened the door again, and said, "No, the door stays open." Then she stuffed a bandana under it to keep it from moving. That was the last we thought of it until the next morning. My youngest son, who had been asleep in the other room, asked us, "Who closed the door last night?" We were all downstairs by then, and nobody had touched the door. That's when my daughter and other son shared what had happened the night before, the door closing by itself. They hadn't told anyone, thinking it was just a weird coincidence, but now it seemed like more than that. Here's the thing. That door had always been held open by a large seashell. It was a fixture in that room for as long as I can remember. But when we checked, the shell had been moved across the room to the foot of the bed. No one touched it, not a single one of us. My mom, bless her heart, still insists it was the furnace kicking on. But the furnace had been on all week, and nothing like that had happened before. She refuses to believe it's anything more than an old house being an old house, but after all these years, I know better. There's something in that house. I don't know what it is, but I've felt it, heard it, and seen its work. And every time I visit, I wonder if I'll have another encounter or if it's waiting for just the right moment to make its presence known again. As strange as that door incident was, it wasn't the last of it. Things got even weirder during that visit, and honestly, it was enough to make us all feel like we were living in a ghost story. After the whole door-closing event, we all agreed that something was off, but we tried not to focus too much on it. My mom still chalked it up to the furnace, like I said before. She's stubborn and doesn't like to admit that her house could be haunted. But my kids, my granddaughter, and I knew better. The house had a vibe, like someone or something was always watching. A couple of days after the door thing, we were getting ready to leave the house. My youngest son, JR, and my daughter went upstairs to grab their things. They hadn't been gone long when I heard my daughter call out from the top of the stairs, "Mom, you need to come up here now!" I could tell by her voice that she wasn't messing around, so I went upstairs as quickly as I could. When I got there, I found my daughter and JR standing in the hallway, both looking freaked out. "The seashell," my daughter whispered, pointing at the floor near the door. "It's moved again." Sure enough, the shell that had been moved across the room earlier in the week was now back where it had been originally, holding the door open. The same door that had mysteriously closed on its own days before. Nobody had touched it. My daughter swore up and down that the shell had been on the other side of the room just that morning. I stood there for a moment looking at the shell, trying to come up with a rational explanation, but nothing made sense. Couldn't have just moved on its own. The house wasn't shaking. There were no drafts, and we were the only ones upstairs. JR, who's usually the skeptical one, just shook his head. "This place is seriously haunted, Mom," he said. "There's no way that shell just moved by itself." We left the room, and I could feel the tension in the air. Whatever was in that house was making itself known, but it wasn't finished yet. Later that night, after we had all settled in, my daughter came downstairs with my granddaughter. She looked pale, like she had seen something she couldn't explain. I asked her what was wrong, and she hesitated before speaking. "Mom," she said, "Zoe keeps saying there's a lady in her room." I raised an eyebrow. "A lady? What do you mean?" "She woke up crying a little while ago, and when I went in to check on her, she told me there was a lady sitting on the end of her bed. I asked her what the lady looked like, and she said the lady was nice and looked like Grandma." Now my daughter was talking about my stepdad's mom, the same Grandma who had passed away years ago. Zoe had been really close to her before she died, even though she was only a toddler at the time. Hearing that Zoe had seen someone who looked like Grandma gave me chills. I went upstairs to check on Zoe myself. She was sitting up in bed, wide awake, but she didn't seem scared. I asked her if she saw the lady again, and she just smiled and said, "She's gone now, but she was here." That night I didn't sleep much. I couldn't stop thinking about what Zoe had said. Was it possible that Grandma was still in the house watching over her great-granddaughter, or was it something else entirely? Something pretending to be her? Either way, it left me feeling uneasy. The next morning, as we were packing up to leave, the final strange event of the trip happened. My mom had always been in denial about the house being haunted, but that morning, something happened that even she couldn't explain. We were all downstairs getting ready to say our goodbyes when the lights in the hallway started flickering. At first, we thought it was just an electrical issue, but then, as the lights flickered off and on, a strong, strange smell filled the air. It was a smell I recognized immediately. It was Grandma's perfume. And I turned to look at my mom, and for the first time, I saw her face go pale. She didn't say anything, but I could tell she was shaken. We all just stood there, watching the lights flicker and breathing. In that familiar scent, it was as if Grandma was saying goodbye one last time. My mom finally broke the silence. "It's the furnace," she muttered, though I could tell even she didn't believe it anymore. She was just grasping for anything that made sense. The lights eventually stopped flickering, and the smell of Grandma's perfume faded away. But that moment stayed with us long after we left the house. I think it was Grandma's way of letting us know that she was still around, watching over us, especially over Zoe. To this day, my mom refuses to admit that her house is haunted. She'll come up with every excuse under the sun to explain the strange things that happened there. But deep down, I think she knows. That house has a history, and it's not just an old, creaky building. There's something there, something that's been there for a long time. And it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. As for me, I don't think I'll ever forget that trip. The footsteps, the moving shell, the door that wouldn't stay open, and, of course, the lady that Zoe saw. It all adds up to one undeniable truth. My mom's house is haunted. Whether it's Grandma or something else, I'll never know for sure. But whatever it is, it's watching. And every time I go back to visit, I can't help but wonder if it'll make itself known again. Sincerely, Kathy. So let's take a step back and really look at this. I mean, it's one thing to have an old house with a few creaks and groans, maybe even a draft or two. But when seashells start wandering across rooms on their own, doors refuse to obey the laws of physics, and little girls are chatting with ghostly grandmas, well, you start to realize there's more going on than just a bad furnace. Now, we've all heard stories of haunted houses, but this one has that special combination of things that make you stop and say, "Wait, what?" Let's start with the footsteps, classic haunted house stuff, right? The kind of thing that makes your skin crawl and your heart race. But then you've got the ghostly grandma apparently doing a final walkthrough to make sure everything's in order, while also making sure her perfume is still hanging in the air like she never left. And to top it all off, the house itself seems to have its own agenda, moving things around and making sure those doors don't stay open without a fight. The best part? Kathy's mom is still trying to explain it all away as the furnace. I mean, I get it. Sometimes the last thing you want to admit is that your charming, creaky old house might be home to a few unexpected guests, but after a week of paranormal activity that involves both doors and seashells conspiring together and the unmistakable scent of Grandma's perfume suddenly flooding the hallway, well, even the most skeptical among us might start to reconsider. Now let's talk about Zoe, the little girl who saw the lady. A lady who looked just like Grandma. And isn't it interesting how kids seem to be way more in tune with these things? It's almost like they haven't learned to shut out the things that go bump in the night the way adults do. Zoe saw what she saw, and it wasn't scary to her. She wasn't panicked or freaked out. For her, Grandma was just there. It makes you wonder if maybe, just maybe, those of us who've grown up might be missing out on something by always brushing these things aside. Then there's the whole door situation. Doors are tricky things in haunted houses, aren't they? They never stay shut when you want them to, or they swing open just when you think you're alone. And let's not forget the seashell, which seemed to have its own ideas about where it wanted to hang out. Whatever was in that house was making it very clear that it didn't like being ignored. If you ask me, it wasn't just a creaky old house acting up. It was Grandma making her presence known, making sure everyone knew she was still around, still keeping an eye on things. But here's where things get really interesting. Kathy's mom, the ultimate skeptic, still refuses to believe. Even when the lights are flickering and Grandma's perfume is wafting through the air like a final farewell, she's still holding out for the furnace theory. And look, I get it. Sometimes it's easier to believe in something tangible, something mechanical, than to face the possibility that the house you've lived in for decades has been quietly housing a few spirits this whole time. But come on, after all that, you'd think even the most hardened skeptic would have to start wondering, right? So, what are we dealing with here? Is this just the lingering energy of loved ones who aren't ready to say goodbye? Is Grandma still hanging around, looking out for her family and making sure they remember her? Or is this something deeper, something tied to the house itself, a place where echoes of the past just don't know how to fade away? I'm not sure we'll ever get a clear answer. But one thing's for sure. Kathy and her family aren't alone in that house, and every time they visit, they can feel it. The question is, who or what is really keeping watch? And here's a thought. What if Grandma's not the only one there? What if she's just the friendly face and there's something else in the shadows, something a little more mischievous? After all, haunted houses don't always come with warning labels. Sometimes you move in thinking it's just a charming old home with character, only to find out that character means sharing your space with the supernatural. So what do you think? Was it all Grandma's doing, a loving spirit just trying to keep her family close? Or is there something darker at play, something lurking just beneath the surface, waiting for the right moment to make itself known? I'll leave that for you to decide. But one thing's for sure, Kathy's mom may never admit it, but there's something in that house, and I have a feeling that the next time they visit, they'll get another reminder that they're never really alone.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.